WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Poland says it got help from NATO allies taking out Russian drones that entered its airspace during attacks on Ukraine. Correspondent Remy Innocencio.
Prime Minister Donald Tusk says the military clocked 19 drones that it says violated Polish airspace and that three or perhaps four drones were shot down.
President Trump's weighed in on yesterday's Israeli strike on Hamas leadership in Qatar. CBS's MTS Tayyab from Doha.
President Trump said he's not happy about it, saying it neither advances Israel nor America's goals.
A federal judge has ruled Fed Reserve Board member Lisa Cook can keep her job for now, despite President Trump's attempts to fire her over allegations of mortgage fraud. CBS's Michael Wallace.
Last night, a judge ruled Trump did not have sufficient cause to fire Cook because Fed governors can only be fired for actions during their tenure. Cook signed the documents in question a year before she joined the Fed. The Trump administration is expected to appeal the ruling.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. A bill that would specifically ban sextortion in Wisconsin is making its way through the legislature. The trend is growing and contributed to the death of a Wausau teen. As Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson reports, scammers target teens, often boys, pretending they could be a romantic interest to get them to send intimate photos or videos and then turn on them. 28 states have sextortion laws on the books, according to the Cyber Civil Rights Initiative. Now, lawmakers have proposed that Wisconsin become the 29th. The bill is inspired by Braden Bone, the Wausau teen targeted in a sextortion plot who took his own life in March. During his visit to Wausau East High School on Monday, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers was cryptic about supporting the legislation, saying he hardly ever says ahead of time if he'll sign a bill into law. New COVID-19 vaccines have arrived in Wisconsin, but according to reporting from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, federal restrictions imposed last month could make it more difficult to get them. In late August, the Food and Drug Administration approved this year's COVID-19 vaccines for a limited number of people, adults 65 and older, and younger people with certain medical conditions that put them at a higher risk for severe illness. The vaccine was previously approved for anyone 6 months and older. The COVID-19 vaccine is available without a prescription at CVS and Walgreens pharmacies across the state, and they require a person to disclose having one of the underlying conditions when booking an appointment online. The underlying conditions include common health issues such as diabetes, a history of smoking, and being overweight or inactive. Neither pharmacy asks for proof of a condition or to specify which condition applied. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
It's the Brewers and the Rangers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports baseball this afternoon, where the Rangers host the Brewers to wrap up their three-game series in Arlington, Texas. The Rangers winning again last night, 5-4, thanks to another great performance by their rookie center fielder, Michael Hellman, Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Take your hat off to Texas. They made great defensive plays. I mean, kid in center field, I think he changed the game. Runs down Durbin's ball and then robs a home run from Terang.
NFL, the Packers signed Christian Watson to a one-year extension worth over $13 million. They host the Washington Commanders tomorrow night. College football, the Badgers play at number 19th-ranked Alabama for the first time ever this Saturday. Wisconsin has not beat a ranked team on the road in 4 years.
We hear the noise. We try and block it out as much as we can, but we hear it. So just being able to go out there and prove ourselves right. You know, we work just as hard as anyone else, if not harder, and we're excited for our opportunity to show that.
That's Badgers quarterback Danny O'Neill. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just an outside chance of a stray shower today. Otherwise, partly sunny skies with highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s. On your Thursday, increasing sunshine with highs again in the mid-70s. It's 58 at our studios.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Heather Heil of the Green Bay Children's Museum takes the John Candy quiz. Then I'm joined by Ethan Ogilvy, writer of the new rom-com, The Threesome, which is just hitting theaters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning, 7:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Wednesday morning, September 10th, 2025. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be along shortly, and later this hour, we will be talking about a new campaign to help taxpayers across Wisconsin understand just how much money the private school voucher scheme is costing them. Money coming out of their wallets, money that is leaving our neighborhood local schools and going to this private school voucher plan instead. So again, that's coming up less than a half hour from now. And then at 8:52, before we wrap things up here for the morning, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley will be dropping in to talk about his joining the race for governor. He's made it official. He and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, among others, will be seeking the Democratic nomination for governor in August of next year and running for governor next November. So David Crowley will talk about what propelled him to decide to join the race for Wisconsin governor. Again, that's coming up a little bit before 9 o'clock, before we wrap things up for today. But we are still getting going just here on the 7 o'clock hour, starting with the weather and the return of summer, says meteorologist Brittany Merlot. And I, for one, am here for it. I can't wait. I'm so looking forward to one last weekend of boating before we put things away for the weekend. I'm sure other people who've made outdoor plans are almost giddy with the thought that things are, at the moment, are looking pretty good.
Yes, they are, honestly. Mm-hmm. Today, starting off damp and dreary, but good things ahead. Warm weekend, 80-degree temperatures. Like you said, summer is coming back, and it's falling on the weekend, so it couldn't be any better. This morning, we do, though, have thick fog up north, northwest. We are looking at a dense fog advisory from Ashland to Eau Claire, and then northwest into Hayward and Superior. Even Eagle River has less than a mile visibility right now. And then middle of the state, we're looking at scattered showers from Madison to Wausau all the way over to Iron River. Those are going to be working their way into the Fox Valley later this morning. Maybe a sprinkle or two until Milwaukee by this afternoon, but nothing heavy. All the heavy rain fell yesterday. We're a good half an inch to an inch and a half up northwest, where all that fog is sitting now. So more clouds north today. Few sunspots down south before the system moves through. High temperatures will reach the upper 60s up north to the low 70s down south today. And we are looking at more fog pushing in overnight tonight. Now tomorrow starts the warm up. Low to mid 70s statewide. Far south, we could hit some 80s. It'll be a partly sunny day, very comfortable out there. And then the mugginess starts to seep in for Friday. You'll start to feel like summer again. It'll be partly sunny, much warmer. Highs will be in the mid to upper 70s far north to low 80s south. And then Saturday and Sunday, we're all hitting 80 to 85 degrees. We do have chances for scattered rain in the morning on Saturday and then maybe late Sunday night. But otherwise, it looks rather dry for the entire weekend and warm too.
That is such good news for people who are planning all sorts of activities this weekend, which I'm going to tell you about in just a moment. But first, I just wanted to pass along a good morning from Rob in Tigerton. Cloudy, a few rain showers, 58 degrees. Did some work around the home and fixed the tire on his John Deere mower. He says it's been fun working with Kristen Lyerly about cuts for people with disabilities and fighting back against wanting to put disabled people in institutions or in nursing homes. He writes places north of Iron Mountain in the UP got over 3 inches of rain and says the leaves are starting to change color in the Tigerton area. Oh, and from Tony, one little request for Brittany. Could you not make it summer again? No, Tony, I'm sorry. I hit the delete button way too fast on that comment. I'm so sorry.
It's all alt-delete.
Exactly. So this weekend, and the thing is with the Packers playing tomorrow night, there's no Packer game over the weekend. So good weather. Ooh. Get to enjoy one of these things. So Parker, guessing game for you. Brittany is starting a long weekend tomorrow. Let's see if we can guess. No spoiler alerts. Here are some options for her. There's the Vernon County Fair, which starts today in Viroqua.
Okay.
There's the Amory Fall Festival that begins tomorrow. There's the Lake Geneva Taco Fest going on Friday and Saturday. Yep. There's Blues Fest in Thiensville Saturday and Sunday. Saturday and Sunday is also the Waupun Volksfest German Festival. On Sunday is the 12th annual Beaver Dam Pepper Festival. Also on Sunday is the Eau Claire Fall Festival. Sunday is also the Stevens Point Celebration of India over at Spash, the local high school. Lakewood has its Festifall. Get it? Ooh. Like festival, Festifall.
Boy.
You see what they did there? Yeah, that's on Sunday.
I see it.
As is New London Fall Fest, the Hayward Lions Oktoberfest, and the Mineral Point Car Show. All of these things. Oh, wait, one more from Rob here. Says Tigerton Steak Fry Saturday night. So there you go.
Options.
So I don't know which of these you're going to here, but you won't lack for possibilities for things to do this weekend.
No, not at all. Sounds like a good long weekend to take off. My gosh, I have options.
I know. So we're going to want to hear all about those when you're back next week. But we will get an updated forecast next hour as well. Brittany, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, we have a new newsletter editor at Up North News who has put together her first edition. Her name is Ellie Bordeaux, and we're going to let her get her feet wet a little bit before we initiate her here on the radio. We can only do so much hazing at Up North News, but Ellie is an Oconomowoc native, has been in Wisconsin her whole life, and is looking forward, as she says here, to talking about Wisconsin's true sense of community, where people take pride in their roots. She's got a photo of her and her dad at Lambeau Field at a Packer game here. She went to UW-Madison, has degrees in journalism and Spanish, wrote for the Daily Cardinal, and discovered a passion for giving people a platform to share their stories. And so, again, Ellie, I believe only the fourth newsletter editor we've had with Up North News over these past 5.5 years. Yours truly, and then there was Christina, and then there was Henry, and now there is Ellie. So give her a welcome by becoming a subscriber. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe up there in the top banner, and you will be part of the weekday newsletter that she works on, as well as the Sunday morning newsletter that I put together, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, which includes a question of the week. And this time around, the question is, what caused Donald Trump's flip-flop on the Epstein files? Is it that it turns out his name is in the files? That much we know. The Attorney General, Pam Bondi, told Trump as much, but we have no idea in what context, whether it involves wrongdoing, whether it involves cover-ups, whether it's all, I don't know if innocence is the right word, but does not involve criminal activity. Maybe that's what it is. Or maybe he's not releasing the files fully because he's covering up and protecting people who are listed. Or, to be a bit more sinister about it, maybe not protecting people, but maybe blackmailing people that are in the file and saying, I'll keep these files secret if you continue to do the things that I want you to do. And then the fourth option, of course, is that it's all a hoax, and that for 20 plus years, all of these victims of Jeffrey Epstein decided all those years ago to make things up because someday Donald Trump was going to be elected president, like anybody would have believed that 20 years ago. And that way we'll be able to get him when the time is right. I mean, it seems to be what Congressman Derek Van Orden is thinking, because asked yesterday about the crude birthday note that Donald Trump signed to Jeffrey Epstein about 20 years ago, Derek Van Orden called it a fallacy. It's not a fallacy. And so you have Derek Van Orden and every other Wisconsin Republican in Congress has voted to basically stonewall the release of all of the Epstein files. All six of Wisconsin's Republican congressmen have voted to not seek justice for the Epstein victims in a way that would be faster than continuing to sit on these files for no good reason whatsoever. There are plenty of Republicans who have voted for or expressed support for getting on with this and not worrying about political protection. But you can't say the same for Wisconsin's six Republican House members. And so, again, these are stories that we are following, including our question of the week at our news, and get our newsletter, a Sunday morning one, by heading to upnorthnewswi.com. Checking in on sports here, the Brewers lost to the Texas Rangers last night, 5-4. Remember, they had lost 5-0 the night before, and that was when Texas's Michael Hellman, who has only been with the team since May 19th, when he was picked up on waivers by Pittsburgh, hit his first ever grand slam and had 5 RBIs total on Monday. Well, last night, he hit a 2-run homer and made a leaping backhanded catch over the fence in left center field to rob Bryce Terang. And that again led to the Brewers losing 5-4. They will wrap up that 3-game series this afternoon. Freddie Peralta will be on the mound, going for what would be a league-leading 17th win if he were to get it in Arlington this afternoon. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and in Hayward. The Packers are on a short week. They play tomorrow night, hosting the Washington Commanders. Coverage begins at 5 o'clock on several Civic Media stations. Christian Watson signed a 1-year, $13 million contract extension through the 2026 season, even though he is still out recovering from an ACL injury. And the Wisconsin Badgers will play this Saturday at Alabama. Coverage begins Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and in Ripon. All right, one more football note, though. I mean, it's not football related, but it's a football guy letting us know what he thinks. Brett Favre would like you to know that spreading the message to end racism is a bad thing, and says it is divisive. The native of Keel, Mississippi, spoke out in a story here on the Fox News website, saying that the messages such as end racism and it takes all of us, and what else was on there? Choose love. And Favre says those messages are counterproductive. He says, I feel like they're maintaining a divisive stance. They may say, well, we're trying to bring everyone together. No, that's not bringing everyone together, Favre said on the Sage Steele show earlier this week. There are a lot of things in this world, in this country, we can be better at. And I think we do continue to get better at certain things, Favre says. But you're creating more division by talking about a problem that I'm not saying it isn't still a problem, racism, but I think you could do more by not talking about it. Talk about unity and how far we've come. There are those who say, I face this all the time, and kudos to the NFL, he says, but I think most people are over and beyond that. Yeah, I feel like the league is the league of divisiveness. There might be no other way to say you're a white guy from Mississippi without saying you're a white guy from Mississippi than to say the things right there that Brett Favre just said, that he's saying, I'm not saying it is a problem, which is right up there with your uncle saying, I'm not a racist, but, and saying that I think people are over that. I think people are beyond that. They are not, which is why messages like these are more important than ever. And at some point, the people who think that something like this is divisive might finally have the epiphany that helps us make some progress in our country. We will talk about the subject of taxpayer transparency for voucher schools 15 minutes away here. I'm Pat Kreitlow, live from Lake Wissota. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. National Voter Registration Day is coming up on September 16th, with nationwide events to encourage eligible voters to register and check their registration. With no national election as incentive this year, organizers point to local and special elections and a readiness to vote in the 2026 midterms as reasons to consider registering or reviewing registration status. The U.S. Census estimates 174 million Americans were registered to vote in 2024 out of an eligible voting age population of 236 million citizens. Pew Research found 18% of non-voters cited not being registered as a major reason for not voting. For those who are registered, changes in election law, such as more frequent purges of inactive voter registrations and lack of citizenship documents on file, could potentially make millions of Americans ineligible prior to the 2026 midterms. Many states offer online tools to check registration status. National Voter Registration Day's organizers said in a statement that over 1,700 community partners and 3,500 local organizations will participate this year, including municipalities, schools, and support agencies. More information for interested community partners is available at nationalvoterregistrationday.org. We have links to the site and our past series on why more Americans don't vote at americandemocracyminute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drug-to-driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 7:23. Currently overcast, guys. Maybe a stray drop of rain or two out there as well. Mm-hmm. Temperature stands at 59 degrees. With Ian Welsh, I'm Chad Holmes. And there is a strain in political commentary out there that has this worship of the word bipartisan, that sometimes anything that is bipartisan is somehow better than otherwise. I'm not one of those folks that believes that everything that is bipartisan is necessarily good. If there is a reason behind it, then I can get behind it. But just to say bipartisan is not something that I automatically say, whoa, that is wonderful. I will say, though, however, that if what we see is that is happening with this appointment by Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney to his former rival in the election a year ago, former Mayor Katie Rosenberg,
right,
to serve as a citizen member of the city's Police and Fire Commission, I say congratulations to everybody involved in this for a true bipartisan piece of government that I think does provide some positives and actually does mean something beyond the word bipartisan. Again, just the background here.
Okay.
It was not the nicest of races between Doug Denny and Katie Rosenberg in 2023-2024. Ultimately, the final election, April of 2024. And after winning the primary, three-way primary, Mayor Rosenberg may look like she was heading towards a re-election. But then in the final vote, it was Doug Denny that ultimately won the election and took over and has had, I would say, at times, rough sledding in the office of mayor in the year plus that he's been, it's almost a year and a half now that he's been the mayor of Wausau. Former Mayor Rosenberg is laid low, has not done a lot of talking when it comes to the aftermath of this previous election. I invited her to come back on my program, as she had done every month when she was in office. Mm-hmm. Said, no, I just want to be in the background here for a little bit. Has been working within Tony Evers' government, but still very much a popular person here in Wausau.
Indeed.
And then late last week, popped up the word that Mayor Doug Denny has nominated Katie Rosenberg to this position on the Police and Fire Commission. The mayor has not responded to questions from the Wausau Pilot and Review about it. One of the interesting points in the story that occurred earlier in the pilot was whether or not he had faced pushback from his supporters. And of course, Mayor Rosenberg was, I think, liked very, very deeply by a lot of folks. But I would say it's fair to say as well that she was not liked by many, many people on the right.
Yeah.
And the people that basically put Doug Denny in the office. He did not say whether or not he had received any pushback on this. The former mayor, Katie Rosenberg, said that she basically is somebody who is a citizen and she is passionate about public service. And that, I think, is very true. Anytime we have spoken to the mayor, anytime that we've spoken to the previous mayor, there was one thing that did jump out, that she's very passionate about public service.
Oh, yes.
And she did it the old-fashioned way. And I think there's something that can be used here by citizens of Wausau or citizens of other communities that have opportunities to serve on citizen boards, advisory boards. What Katie Rosenberg did is did not go off to connected elected officials. She went to the city's website and filled out an application. That started the process. And then somebody obviously reached out from the city. She had a brief conversation with the mayor after he reviewed her application. And here we are. And I think that's democracy. I think that's good. Again,
step in the right direction.
I give credit to Mayor Denny in this case, too. I think the mayor, it would be very easy not to give the former mayor a position on a citizen board like this. But he did. And I think good for Mayor Denny. Congratulations to the mayor. This is real bipartisanship because we have a talented person on the Police and Fire Commission, somebody that cares about this community, somebody that knows the issues, somebody that knows them
someone who knows
intimately,
how to talk to people.
Intimately knows what the issues are, knows the budget implications on everything that's done. So this is bipartisanship that actually works for the community, works for the citizenry. And it works, I think, for Mayor Denny to show that he's not a mega ideologue in every case. I mean, that's one of the frustrations I've had. That's the whole Dropbox thing to me. It was a mega move, and that's the thing that kind of annoyed me. I can handle conservatives and their beliefs, and if they truly believe in something that they're going to try to push through within their positions in government. But it's the mega aspect, and the mega aspect that Donald Trump preaches all the time is you're either for me or you're anti-American. Uh-huh. I think this steps beyond that. And I give credit to Mayor Denny for doing something like this. And I give credit for Mayor Rosenberg for still being part of
Absolutely.
Part of government, part of being part of solutions, for being supportive of the role of the Police and Fire Commission and being part of it and not just showing lip service to serving in your community. It's a case, well, if I can't be mayor, I don't want to be anything. No, she's not the mayor, but she still wants to be involved. So, that's again, right. Good for Doug Denny, good for Katie Rosenberg, good for the city of Wausau for this happening.
Absolutely.
The time is 7:29. Coming up, we'll be back in 22 minutes for another segment. And then coming up after the information update, more Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, you've laid eyes on the crop you've got, you see the weather around you, and you see the markets. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Now you need to come up with a strategy, and we've got suggestions.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
Dairy pumps that were designed more than 50 years ago do not meet today's large dairy farm requirements. Bopeller pumps by McFinn Technologies were born and patented this century with a unique and innovative design that ensures gentle, low shear pumping along with efficient, high capacity, and long seal life. Bopeller pumps for all your applications will ensure your dairy is operating with 21st century technology. Bopeller is American innovation. Contact your dealer today.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says use the tools that are available to you. He says there's a lot of mechanisms in the marketplace that may help protect your downside in this market and still allow you to find a little up.
You know, the biggest thing is I think guys are going to need some cash flow, and that's going to be a problem, obviously, just from talking to people. Money's getting tight, and that's understandable with the cost of production and getting ready for next year's inputs already too. You know, so there's a couple different routes to do this. If you do go with the storage route, we've had a nice little rally. Make sure we put a little bit of a floor underneath that so you got those prices locked in longer term using put strategies. Otherwise, if you are making sales, I'm a strong recommendation this year, just keeping some paper over top on calls. Keep it simple, keep it cheap, something that's easy to explain to keep yourself at least available to the upside in the market.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Right now in overnight electronic trade, I've got December corn down a penny at 419, March corn down a penny at 436. Currently, November soybeans are down 3 at 1028, December wheat's up a penny at 522, July new crop wheat up a penny at 559. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped 2 cents down to 168. 40-pound block cheese, 3 cents lower at 166.5. The butter was down 2 as well, $2.50 per pound on the butter. The October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, up a penny right now, $16.93 a hundredweight. November, currently up 4. There's your quick market update as we roll our way into a Wednesday. More at MidwestFarmReport.com anytime you want to check in on the news influencing your markets. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Just an outside chance of a stray shower today. Otherwise, partly sunny skies with highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-50s. On your Thursday, increasing sunshine with highs again in the mid-70s. It's 58 at our studios.
Matt Nair on air.
Mr. Darren Von Ruden, who is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. This farm bill is supposed to be passed in 2023.
It's really frustrating that they've forgotten about small farmers. We actually pay more taxes than the billionaires do. Why are those tax dollars not coming back to the communities that pay them? Whether it's through the farm bill or it's other programs, we need to make sure that we keep fighting and let them know that we're not happy.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Wisconsin has a new candidate for governor. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. He'll join the program at 3:35, and we'll kick around politics with Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back on this Wednesday morning. Time for our homeroom segment. And before we get to our guest, a little history of the homeroom segment, especially appropriate for today's topic. How did we come to do a weekly segment on public education in Wisconsin? It started with my learning just how much money our tax dollars goes into the voucher school program. And now this goes back at least a couple of years. And I originally wanted to do just a short series, maybe a short series of videos, kind of like Schoolhouse Rock. But instead of how a bill becomes a law, it was, could we find a way to explain in plain English how the school funding system works in Wisconsin? And in doing so, we would help people appreciate how we fund our public schools, but also let people know how much money is skimmed away from that, from a voucher program for private, often religious schools that started as this small experimental program in Milwaukee, but with a lot of folks not knowing it, has mushroomed into something massive. And how do you go about sharing that message with folks? Well, the short video series is still a work in progress, but we did say, you know, we need to be talking about this on a more regular basis. So along with a lot of other education topics, we started this homeroom segment along with some friends from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, who have made it their mission as well in the support of public schools, is to help increase taxpayer transparency about the voucher school program. Well, they're taking this to the next level with a transparency project that the Wisconsin Public Education Network is starting, with a kickoff party and free training through Zoom and a toolkit and more. It's all starting next week. And so to get back to basics on all this, Heather Dubois-Bornon from the Wisconsin Public Education Network is here today. Heather, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you. You and Chris Hambuck, well, you're basically the godmothers of this segment to help make sure that we're getting, you know, this kind of word out about supporting public schools and not undermining public schools through use of our property tax dollars, oftentimes unwittingly. And so tell us in your own words, what led to this transparency project? And then we'll get into what the transparency project is all about.
So thanks. There's a lot to unpack here. And yes, I'm just going to start by saying that question about, well, how do I understand this in regular plain language is probably the one we get the most.
Yes.
Most people know that Wisconsin taxpayers are subsidizing a secondary system of education that is not playing by the same set of rules. We are funding private, mostly religious schools through taxpayer funded vouchers. And we are funding independent charter schools, which are charter schools that are not run by your district or your locally elected board. They're public schools in name, but they're independently run, and they aren't subject to the same level of scrutiny, particularly that, financial scrutiny that public schools are. And so the question we get next is, well, why and how much do I find out these costs? And Pat, you're a smart guy. You used to be a state legislator. You are a reporter. You know how to dig into details. How easy do you find it to find out how much vouchers are costing in your district?
Yeah, that kind of says it all right there. Is I have been working at this as a journalist and as a state senator and now as a radio host. And it's still hard for me to wrap my head around how we get these costs. And it, you know, for folks who think, well, I'll just look at that line on my property tax bill, that does not tell you the whole story.
Yeah, there's no line on your property tax bill. There's right. no line that you can just go to and put in, here's my district, how much are vouchers costing on the state, in the state budget or on the state DPI website. You have to dig into spreadsheets. You have to know what those spreadsheets are called. You have to search this information out yourself. And then, worst of all, you have to do your own math to add up all the different programs and see how much they're all costing. And so we have created a tool on our website, wisconsinnetwork.org, where you can go, and we're going to update this by next week when we do our party with the numbers for this year. So that's one way you can get the numbers right now. There is also a Fiscal Bureau memo that gives us the grand total of the price tag, which, by the way, for the next 2 years in this biennium is going to be Let me start over because I'm not very good at saying numbers this big, Pat.
Yeah.
$1,836,391,400. We're approaching $2 billion in the biennium on voucher and independent charter spending. And so the question is, how much is that costing in my district? How much is that money siphoning away from the pot that's not going to my kids? Because this is one of many reasons that districts have been forced to go to referenda so much over the past 15 years. And so there are a lot of challenges facing public schools right now, and hiding those challenges is a real problem. And so we want to see more transparency, not in the service of expanding that program, but rather in the service of exposing what a scam it is and how much it is truly costing local kids, and in the hopes that more people will turn their confusion into outrage and join us in demanding that we right this wrong and restore our commitment to funding the public schools our Constitution requires us to serve.
We're talking to Heather Dubois, born on from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. And so now that we've set up the problem, let's talk about the new transparency project and the kickoff event next week. What's that all about?
Yeah. So what can people do about it? You can say, I want this on my tax bill. And people have said that around the state, in Racine, in Milwaukee, in Madison, in South Milwaukee. There are a number of communities around the state where they already have what's called a tax insert. It is a little slip of paper that comes with your tax bill that shows how much vouchers are costing taxpayers and how much is being deducted from the aid for your district to cover these unaccountable voucher schemes. What we'd like to see is a requirement that that's on your actual tax bill. It's expensive to do inserts. It's unnecessary. It's confusing. That should be a line item, the same as any other school cost, just like our public school funding, which is funded by public dollars, is exposed to taxpayers. And so the good people of Green Bay took it into their own hands to approach their city and ask for that level of transparency. And after a few months of discussion and debate and consideration, they passed it. And this fall, when those tax bills come out, they're going to show taxpayers exactly how much that program is costing and add a layer of transparency that we've never been afforded before. And I'll say this, we've tried at the state level. There have been several bills circulated asking for a state law that requires those costs to be exposed. Those bills have never seen a hearing. We hope that bill will continue to come forward and that we could solve this problem in one fell swoop at the state house, but there's seems to be a real will for lack of transparency on behalf of the voucher lobby. And so I think that should speak volumes in and of itself. So we're going to give you all the tools you need to get this process started where you live. It is not as hard as it might sound. It's just a question of talking to the right people, following the right steps, and setting the wheels in motion to find folks in your community who are invested in making sure that the kids in our public schools have the resources that they need to succeed, to thrive, and to ensure that our schools are like well-equipped places of joy where we're really making sure that we're meeting the needs of every kid who walks through the door.
I think you really hit the nail on the head when you said, it isn't that it's hard. It's just a matter of knowing the steps, knowing getting the resources to tap into basically a toolkit. And that's the thing that you all have put together now, because lacking a state solution because of the current legislature, this has to happen at the district by district level. So if any one person hears this in a school district, it might sound rather daunting, but you get 2, 3, 4 people at a coffee clutch or a local meeting of some other group. It sounds like the kind of thing that this toolkit and this training would help them get some answers at the local district level.
Yeah. And who doesn't want that level of transparency and accountability? I mean, it is really basic, and we're seeing strong bipartisan support for these efforts wherever they've been introduced, because regardless of what your feelings are about the program, we over here at Wisconsin Public Education Network are strongly opposed to programs that siphon monies away from the public schools we are required to serve. But whatever your feelings about that program, most people want transparency. They want accountability. They want to make sure that their tax dollars are being used in a way that ensures we're good stewards of our money. And there's really nothing less conservative about a taxpayer-funded voucher that's providing resources for private school students to attend the school they already attend, which has been the case for the vast majority of students. Close to 80% of kids who are in the statewide voucher program never attended a public school. So as our tax dollars increase to that program, it becomes increasingly unsustainable. And that's one of the things we want to expose to. Most people don't know that there was a statute put into place about 10 years ago, well, exactly 10 years ago next year, that every year, a few more kids can enter the program from each district based on a certain percentage until the year 2026, when the cap on enrollment will come off altogether. Well, Wisconsin is not prepared for that free for all. And we need to make sure that we are ready to expose the costs, to understand what they mean to local kids in our public schools that serve the vast majority of Wisconsin kids, and really hold the line on demanding fair funding, because Lord knows we did not get fair funding in the last state budget. And if we're going to do better, it's going to start with us being better watchdogs where we live.
Heather, the whole notion of transparency, I just find rich, no pun intended, from a lot of folks who love to talk about taxpayer transparency until it's something that's important to them. And so now you have the potential for people to learn more about this. And on our Facebook page, Chris Hambuck Boyle has been putting in the exact web addresses that people can click on. But really, if you go to Wisconsin Network.
Chris.
Yes, thank you. If you go to wisconsinnetwork.org/events, and even if you just go to wisconsinnetwork.org, you'll go to events, and then from there, it'll be very clear to see the Go Public Transparency Project. It's on September 16th, so that'll be Tuesday of next week, 6:30 via Zoom, but you do need people to pre-register, I would assume.
Yep, we need you to register in advance. And once you do, we will send you the link to participate in the event. You're going to get a toolkit. You're going to get access to people like Chris, who can do a one-on-one consultation with you, help you understand what specifically in your community you're going to need to do, because this is a bit of a choose-your-own-adventure. No two municipalities do their tax bills exactly the same way. So you're going to have to do a little bit of investigating to get started. But again, it's not as hard as it sounds. And we're here to make it fun, but also to help you tap into some energy around making sure that local kids have what they need that you might not have known was going on around the state. But let me tell you, it is. And people are ready to stand up for and defend their public schools. And we hope you're one of them.
Heather Dubois-Bourne on from Wisconsin Public Education Network, wisconsinnetwork.org. Heather, thank you so much for all you do. It's great to talk to you again. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. It's always great to see you, Pat.
You bet. Thanks. Take
care. Hope to see everybody next week.
You bet. So it's always good to connect with Heather. And one point I want to underscore again very quickly is there's always been an enrollment cap on the program, and that cap's about to be lifted, and that can blow such a hole in the next state budget if this whole monster isn't addressed. In our next hour, we're going to talk to David Crowley, Milwaukee County executive and candidate for governor. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos' wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin spaceflight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average superyacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles? And that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joyrides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Maggie Dawn Show.
James Santel joining me. Donald Trump just flat out threatening Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook.
A lot of people apparently, Maggie, in high places in government engaging in mortgage fraud, including Adam Schiff and Letitia James, and now Commissioner Cook as well. The Federal Reserve is created independent of politics, preventing exactly this kind of thing from happening. This is the instability that causes economic crisis.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Cloudy skies and 59 degrees here in downtown Wausau. Live from our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street, I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh. A quick note that coming up tonight, we will have another edition of the Big High School Sports Show, 6 till 8 p.m. right here on 98.9 WXCO, online as well, on the app, through mobile devices, and on YouTube, our WXCO YouTube channel. I will be joined by former Wausau West head football coach Jason Foster. We will review last week's action in high school football. Look ahead to week number 4 plus special guests. Every week we have a coach guest and a student athlete guest. And tonight our coach guest joining us at about 6:30 will be Jacob Knapp-Miller. He is the head football coach of the Abbotsford Falcons. They come off a 39-0 victory over Iola Scandinavia last week and are 2-1 on the young season. And our student athlete guest will be Shay Jones. He is a senior at Wausau West, big part of both the football and hockey teams. He had a couple of touchdown receptions against Eau Claire North last week. So that will be tonight, 6 till 8 p.m., the big high school sports show right here on 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app and on the 98.9 WXCO YouTube channel. Of course, on Monday, the governor of the state of Wisconsin paid a visit to central Wisconsin as part of his back-to-school trip around the state. Mm-hmm. He was at Wausau East High School. And yesterday, another statewide elected official was in central Wisconsin as State Attorney General Josh Call was in Kronenwetter and talking about a very important issue for young people and the families and the communities, sextortion. And, of course, right. It was earlier this year where Braden Bone, the student at DC Everest, took his life after being a victim of sextortion. And the attorney general joined Braden Bone's family and others in his hometown of Kronenwetter to talk about this issue. And it's, I think, wonderful that the attorney general was in central Wisconsin yesterday to talk about this. And
very important issue.
In addition, also there was members of the D.C. Everest staff, including the D.C. Everest superintendent, Dr. Casey Nye. In fact, according to a story at WSAW.com, the mother of the 15-year-old Braden Bone, Brittany Bird, said, and she's been such a strong figure in all of this. I mean, when you have, I would say, literally the worst thing that could happen, to have something like this happened to a child, and yet she did not go into hiding. She has come out and spoken about this issue, and I'm sure is saving many lives in the process. And Brittany Bird was quoted as saying, the conversation has to change from don't send the photo to if this happens because you are 15 and you are a victim, we can fix it. And that's so important because when you're young, you see something happen. It could be a big thing. It could be a small thing.
Right.
But you think, well, I can't have this come out. This will ruin my life forever. It's hard, but it will not ruin your life forever if you tell people that love you. And that's exactly what Brittany Bird is saying in this situation and at other events as well. And
it's not going to be easy to talk about.
No.
But something that needs to be talked about, because if you talk to someone about this, then they can help you work through this and try to find a way to, you know, prevent this from happening to you again and also to others as well. I mean, just having that a conversation is vitally important than not having it at all.
And finding the answers, because we don't have all the answers. No individual has all the answers. And the D.C. Everest superintendent said that it's okay for parents not to know all the answers, that sometimes parents can be reluctant to be the single source of truth and the experts in a digital landscape they did not experience firsthand. But he also said that cannot be the reason that we don't have tough conversations. They don't have to have those conversations alone. And there is a Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. They offer many online resources about Internet safety and protecting children. The Speak Up, Speak Out Resource Center is also a way for community to report safety concerns. Once the DOJ gets a tip, it's vetted through several stages. And that's where the Attorney General comes in. The Attorney General said at this event yesterday, often what they need to do is what's called an administrative subpoena to get information about where a tip is coming from. They work with local law enforcement to follow up on a tip. And then sometimes local law enforcement will take it from there. Other times they'll work in partnership. The Division of Criminal Investigation, which is part of the state DOJ, will conduct an investigation as well. So, again, I just think that one of the, I think, true heroes of 2025 has been Brittany Bird for her reaction after this tragedy that involved her son. And Braden's law is continuing to move through the state legislature. In June, the state assembly approved the bill with bipartisan support. September 4th, the Senate committee unanimously approved it to head to the Senate floor.
It's expected to be voted on in October, likely be approved, and then head to Governor Tony Evers' desk as well. Coming up, top of the hour, news update, news, weather, sports, get you all caught up on the information that you need, top and bottom of every hour. After that, Pat Kreitlow will be back. He will be joined by Brittany Merlot, talking about the weather forecast, which is looking pretty darn well as head towards the end of the work week. And then we'll be back with our final segment for a WXEO Morning Report coming up at 8:22. Included will be our number for the day quiz.
That's right.
That's all coming up here on 98.9 WXEO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXEO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. envoy says Washington stands by NATO allies after they helped shoot down Russian drones that entered Polish airspace during an overnight attack on Ukraine. Prime Minister Donald Tusk.
This is the first time that Russian drones have been shot down over the territory of a NATO member country, which is why all allies are taking this situation very seriously. We have not recorded any casualties.
Russia's defense ministry just claiming it did not target Poland. President Trump's weighed in on yesterday's Israeli strike on Hamas political offices in Qatar. CBS's Jared Hill.
On social media, he said it was too late to stop the attack after the U.S. military notified him and that he directed his special envoy, Steve Witkoff, to inform leaders in Qatar immediately.
In Washington, D.C. Protesters outside Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab Restaurant, where President Trump took cabinet members to highlight his crackdown on crime.